Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Saravan Restaurant, and I'm continuing my conversation with Garen Melikyan, who is in Armenia, Yerevan, Armenia. Hi, Garen.
Hi, Serge.
Hi.
Good to be with you.
Thank you for sticking around. You and I spoke, and the big elephant in the room right now for Armenia is the situation with the war and its neighbors, Azerbaijan and Turkey. I don't want to get into the conversation of politics at all, I know from not only my conversations with you, but others, is that I don't think there is an individual in Armenia who has not been influenced by the recent war, whether prisoners of war, whether casualties or injured or volunteers that went to war to protect their homeland and protect Nagorno-Karabakh or Artsakh, as we are, as we Armenians call it. Could you tell us about your experience, your personal experience, briefly, if you were impacted and how you were impacted and how that changed your perspective or your daily life?
Yeah. Well, it certainly, you know, it was kind of in the air that war was looming. It was a question of the when, and obviously when it started in September 27th of last year, you know, at the same time, you know, it's just like you know that. A car is coming at you at a very high speed, and you know that it's going to, if you don't get out of the way or what have you. But and the whole thing, once the reality hits you, it's still shocking, even though you knew that it was heading your way. So it was that kind of a feeling, I think, for me, and I think for a lot of other people too. I wouldn't say entire population, but a lot of people. And
that must have been a very nerve-wracking period, just anxiety.
Yes. And very, very much so.
Especially and, with the child, especially with the family. It's just...
yes. And we didn't... Yeah. And we didn't know the scope of it, whether it would just be, limited to Nagorno-Karabakh, or is this going to spill over to Armenia proper?
Exactly. And the level of anxiety that must have generated.
Absolutely. And it did, of course. And then, you know, not just us, but also I could see it, you know, and it was kind of in the air. Though, again, we knew that the possibility of that is kind of very relatively slim, but there was that chance because one did not know, you know, whether other countries are going to get involved in what form and so forth, whether, you know, it would spill over to the region. It certainly was and is, because the war, though there is a ceasefire, again, it is kind of there is this understanding that it's not over yet.
Yes, because I hear that here as well. How was your family impacted? Could you briefly tell us about your brother?
Yeah, sure. Well, my brother-in-law, he
volunteered.
He volunteered. That's right. He volunteered to go to the front, as there were a lot of people, younger, you know, generation, you know, but by younger, I mean, like, you know, people went there even in their 70s, you know, although they were not sure what they could do, but they went. there are people who, you know, wanted to get involved in the logistics, you know, taking things over there, you know, food and, you know, clothing and what have you for the
soldiers and
for the soldiers and also families who were affected and had to leave, you know, just their homes, you know, with their slippers on. And
what Garen is speaking, sorry, Garen, to interrupt, but Garen is speaking, no, the capital of Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh, Stepanakert. Many of the families had to leave, especially the women and children. So there were a lot of refugees that went into Yerevan, Goris, and other parts of Armenia for safety, while the men stayed behind to the homeland.
That's
and
right.
Your brother so this, is one of the volunteers.
Yes, yeah, so a lot of volunteers who went there, unfortunately, though I guess time will say more about how and why, you know, things unraveled the way they it did. But it was highly unorganized. The level of, you know, lack of organization as far as the volunteers and the volunteer units who joined the army, the Artsakh army, the Karabakh army that were defending. It was very haphazard. And so this particular...
Which is really unfortunate to hear, Garanjan, because,
yes,
as you said, it was anticipated. You sort of, your imagery of you're standing there and you know the car is coming.
That's
and you're
right.
Going to get hit. But yet it seems that the military and the leadership was not ready or did not have a solid plan on how to retaliate.
Yes, there was that, and also without getting into the, you know, the detail of what's going on and so forth, but as is the case in many wars of the past, and, you know, our own war, Vietnam, and you know, other types of wars that the U.S. has been involved in, or other countries have been involved in, where the political leadership has other ideas, or and then the military has its own, and then there are regional issues, and so Armenia, being such a tiny little country, that it cannot influence regional powers and regional issues. So it's basically a very it's a sailing boat in the midst of a huge, you know, ocean of storm, you know, hit by a storm. Right. So. There were a lot of issues that still need to come to the surface, and we will have a more clear idea of what exactly went on. Whether it was this done deliberately, or was this something that was foregone? In which case, why then, you know, 5,000 plus.
Souls were lost.
Soldiers who lost their lives,
right?
And a lot more, you know, 15,000, 10,000, 15,000 who are injured. And
so, Garen, you know, you're raising a very interesting point. I know that we Armenians we lost the war, and there was a lot of territory that we lost, and for me, having been to Shushi and seeing it now not as part of Artsakh, in and in itself is very painful. What I would like you to, if you could elaborate, again from your perspective in Yerevan, not the political anger, and I'm not interested in the political conflict that it has raised in the leadership of Armenia. But
yes,
I'm more interested in the Armenians of Armenia, you know, all the Armenians, the Armenian Iranians, the Lebanese Armenians, the Syrian Armenians, all of the Armenians, even the Yazidis that live in Armenia. How has their frustration and anger, you know, because you can see when you go outside to Yerevan, you can see whether the mood of the public is jovial or it's angry or it's nervous. And I have detected all of those in Armenia. How do you think that the comfort, that the fear has subsided a little bit more? Or do you think that level of nervousness and anxiety, or as we say in Armenian, larvats vichaka, do you still see that in everyone?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, everybody kind of realizes that it's not over. Not only the war, but also, you know, the question marks or the unknowns are overwhelming. And again, the political leadership on all sides is not does not have the answers. But again, I would also refer to the global issues that we, again, as human beings are dealing with, and the frustration and the anxiety that, you know, we all have across the globe, both in terms of, you know, economic viability, economic need, you know, need that that people have, the differences in our social and economic levels and how that affects. So you see all of those in Armenia as well. I mean, vis-a-vis COVID in the U.S., I mean, we know from all the data and statistics coming out that, you know, how the minorities were less they received less medical assistance and so on and so forth. So we have that. It's a global thing. And unfortunately a human factor where when you think that, you know, things of this nature, catastrophes ought to bring people together to solving and to sharing and to care for one another and so on and so forth. And it may happen initially, but unfortunately, as time goes by, then we kind of fall back into our own, you know, cocoons or our own, you know, safety.
Human nature prevails.
Exactly. Exactly. So Armenia is no different in that respect. So those who have more, you know, ability, both financial and economic ability, they are looking at opportunity, you know, opportunities that this has opened up to them, and unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of the population, which does not have that, therefore does not necessarily see it as such.
So, Darren, we have come to the point that, you know, we're all humans, and the same issues that we have in the U.S., you have there,
absolutely
the same global issues that every country, nation is facing. You absolutely have there as well. One of the things, we only have about 2 minutes left, and one of the things that I want to ask you is: here is Garen, born in an Armenian in Abadan, Iran, lived in London, lived in New York, now lives in Armenia, Yerevan, Armenia. How does Garen understand being an Armenian?
There we go back to the bee.
Well, I'm wondering if the bee has found a nest.
To some extent, yes, and but even in that respect, a lot more questions have sprouted, but I would say generally yes, but that does not necessarily help me to kind of calm down or to come to certain resolutions that are, you know, I think that it just helps me to move forward. it has helped me with my compass, if you will.
Of course.
But is my compass working digitally? Do I have? Am I equipped with GPS and GIS? No. Actually, my son is doing his master's in GIS and related. You know, he's basically doing geography, but also so we talk a lot about these issues. And he sent me a very interesting article. Where a geographer was basically going back and saying, in fact, how much we have lost. Technology has helped us to get very specific information, but we have lost in the process our sense of our surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
Because we may not look at the sky or farther out to know whether it's going to rain 10 minutes or 15 minutes or an hour later, but we will go to our iPhones and our, you know, Samsungs or whatever, and we will check the weather. We will not even look up. We will not look up to the sky to figure things out. Whereas people before us in you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, they still did that. They still had a sense of GIS was within them. And now we are, I go back to my very good friend Kafka a lot. We as much as we have the instruments and the tools to overcome so many issues as we are globally again, and in particular in certain countries at least. But on the same level, we are alienating ourselves in the process. So there is this, and it's like a swing. You know, we realize certain things, then we come back, and then we go again. So I guess human nature, as you said it quite correctly, has not changed very much. And these processes are things that we just go through in order to not go insane, I guess, you know, to bring back our sanity.
Yeah, you're raising so many, many important questions and human factor questions and spiritual questions that always inspire me and always keep my wills going. Garen, it's mm-hmm. been a pleasure speaking with you. I wish we had another hour for us to spend and speak with each other. I really appreciate you taking the time
in
your evening to join us.
And I thank you for the opportunity.
You in Yerevan. Of course.
Absolutely. Love to. Love to. Yeah. Or in New York. Or in New York soon, sometime soon.
Yes. I prefer in Yerevan.
Okie dokie. You got it.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us once again. This is Serge from Yerevan Restaurant and Flavor Matters, and we appreciate your tuning in.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Amelia, New York, saravan.com on the web.